I just want to share with you a word about On This Rock. I want to just share two parts of On This Rock. I want to take you to I want to ask you basically this question. Are you building your life on the rock? Or let me ask you this question. On what foundation are you building your life? And how do you know? How would you know? Rock or sinking, shifting sand? How would you know actually what you are building your life on? Now, I found this out at the age of 18. I went to study at university, and I found out on what I was building my life. I remember I drank too much, got drunk on telephone duty. It was a first year at university. I was doing telephone duty, and I drank too much, and I left early, and I got this tugsaak against me. I got this disciplinary hearing against me, and there were quite a few things happening all together at the same time. It's like I had this beautiful girlfriend, but she wasn't at all as beautiful as my wife. She doesn't come close. She's ugly. Ugly compared to my wife, just that you know. But there was a senior. There was like this guy in the hostel that was looking. He was my dad in the hostel third year, and he was after my girlfriend. And I had this disciplinary hearing. I got all the first years in trouble. And it's like my whole life fell apart. You know, I was like depressed. I wanted to go out of the hostel. It was just like everything was just a mess. And in that time, and looking back, I realized I found out in that season of my life, I didn't have a foundation. I was building on sand. The only way you actually find out what you're standing on is when the storms come. When the storms come, you find out what have you built on. Because when the storms come, as if for a Christian, for a believer, you find yourself falling back into old sinful behavior, that shows you your foundation wasn't good. Or when you fall back into fear or ungodly anger or rebellion or depression or hatred or whatever it might be, if a storm comes and your response is bad, it shows you you're not standing on solid rock. And all of those things I mentioned now, that's how I would respond in the past, even as a believer, even as a Christian. And so you want to stand on the rock. And so Jesus comes and he takes us to this amazing, this is like a highlight in the scriptures. He comes to us, he takes his disciples and he asks them these profound questions. It's like a defining moment. Say defining moment. Okay, defining moment. There's a defining moment where Jesus asks his disciples this question in Matthew 16. He first asked them, okay, guys, so what do people out there say about me? In other words, what are the opinions about me? And then he followed it up and he brought it home. He made it personal. Then he secondly asked, well, who do you say that I am? Jesus is not that interested about people's opinions. But he is interested in what you think, in what has happened in your heart and in your life. So imagine for a moment Jesus coming to you and asking you this question. So what do you say? Who am I to you? Nice guy, prophet, fairy tale. Who are you? And this defining moment, this was a defining moment for Peter. Because look at the scripture. It says, so he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this is like they've been walking together for a few years, and then suddenly Jesus asked this question. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And if you read the next thing, it says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So just go one slide up. Just want to focus on that. This is so profound. What is happening here? You see, Jesus wasn't excited about Peter getting the truth, per se. Jesus wasn't excited that Peter realized he's the Son of God. That wasn't the main thing. Jesus was excited about where this truth came from. And that's why the word "for" is so powerful. I mean, Jesus could have come to the guys and said, "Guys, I have great news for you today. Great news. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. You've been waiting for ages. It is me." Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he just tell them? Why did he ask them and then celebrate where this truth comes from? This is so profound. This is defining. Jesus says, "I will build my church on this rock." In other words, I will build every believer's life. Every believer's life is founded on this rock. What is that rock? Revelation, knowledge concerning who Jesus is. Revelation, knowledge concerning who God is. You see, the word of God says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Anybody's got a Bible in hand? I'm all electronic these days. Just show me a Bible. Anybody in the house? Show me a Bible. Okay. Oh, we have a Bible here. It's a pink Bible. Do you know that this thing can kill you? This thing can kill you without the Spirit of God. I believe the greatest tragedy in our age is a Christianity without the Holy Spirit that causes the Word to become empty and dry and powerless and boring. I grew up in a church like that. I grew up in an environment where, man, I'm dying. Mommy, I want to go home. Because the Word didn't come with the Holy Spirit. Didn't come with the power of God. The Word of God says, the letter kills. This will kill you. But the Spirit gives life. And Jesus knew that. And so Jesus could speak that. And that was why Jesus was so excited. Because he's saying, Peter, today you are blessed. Because this day the Holy Spirit gave you revelation, understanding of who I am. And because it came from my Father, because it came from the Holy Spirit, it will have lasting impact on your life. How many people have heard the story? Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus is resurrected on the third day with no impact. And then others, when you say that same thing, it's like it moves them to tears in thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I mean, think about it. In that same group, the disciples in that group, Jesus was asking this question, who do you say I am? Peter gets the revelation. Jesus says, blessed are you because this will change you forever. In that same group sat Judas. Judas was there. Judas sat there. He heard, this is the Son of God. But Judas, just shortly after that, denied him, handed him over to the religious leaders. He was crucified. He felt remorse and he killed himself. Peter also denied Jesus, but he came back. Because something happened on that day when he received the revelation from heaven. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. How many churches? How many people in churches are like that? We have our Peters. Woo, Jesus! I'm in! You're my everything! And then the Judases, not I'm not calling traitors, but just people who, yeah, not getting it, doesn't work for me, not excited. What are these people on about? Why are they getting so excited? Man, they're weird. Now I'm now telling you what you've been thinking, I know. But I was exactly like that. 18 years old, I remember I just came to Christ 2 months in. And I was looking at this. I was in Shofar in Stellenbosch. I was looking at these people and they're so psyched and they're so excited. I'm thinking, I am not there. And I'm standing outside of this hostel. I'm chatting to this one girl and she was like on fire for the Messiah. It was like fire in her eyes. I'm like, woo, woman, you're weird. So I remember walking away and thinking, that's weird. But something in me said, that's real. And so I think it was a few days later, I was baptized in water in obedience to the command of Christ in the scriptures. No angels, not massive shifts, nothing. It was a Saturday afternoon. The Boks were playing, the All Blacks, and I missed the game. Luckily, we lost. And on Monday, 2 days later, my lights went on. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The lights were on, and I was on fire for the Messiah. Something shifted. Something shifted. I spoke to a lady yesterday, did a wedding here yesterday. Spoke to one of the ladies afterwards, and she said to me, she's a Christian, her whole family's a Christian, but she asked me, it was weird, I don't know, I didn't say anything about this. Then she asked me, it's like, you know, but I haven't had like, you know, what? Yeah, like, you know, like a God encounter? Yeah, that. I haven't had like that moment where everything changed. And she said she and many of her family are Christians, but many of them are lukewarm. Many of them are not on fire for the Messiah. And you could find yourself in the Judas category. And so it took a while for me as a young believer. It was a season of growing in God until I came to a point where I knew, now I'm never going to walk away from Jesus again. It's like you've been pushing this thing up the hill and then release. I'll never walk away again. I'll never turn away again. I've made my sums. If my child dies, if my wife dies, if I lose everything, I will serve Jesus. There will be no reason in this life that I will walk away from Him. Because the revelation in my heart and mind has come to a point that I'll never walk away. Where are you? Where are you? Are you in that space? Are you still maybe in the in-between? Are you maybe in the Judas camp? The lights has never truly come on. I mean, today we're baptizing 35, 36 people, another one in the week, and the stories is just phenomenal. People who were down and out just a month or two ago, they say, the lights are on. I can't imagine how God has turned my life around. It should be real. If I read the scriptures, I read an awesome God. And I see an awesome church where people's lives are changed radically. God is the same for you. I want to encourage you this morning. There's more. There's more. Revelation knowledge is what shifts us. It does something to our spirit. It's like the moment revelation comes, it gives supernatural understanding of what's in the Word. And it also gives us supernatural faith. It increases our faith and gives us the ability to step out and do it. It changes us. It moves us. Doctrine doesn't move us. Revelation does. Doctrine doesn't move us. Revelation does. I so want to hold this before you. That aha moment. That moment where the lights come on. You say, yes, I understand now. So if Christianity hasn't made sense to you yet, I want to encourage you. Keep going. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully. Let's say that. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully. Get your mind activated. Get focused. Put out your expectation that I'm going to get a revelation of who God is. And with it, grace will come. Empowerment will come. It's going to move me. It's going to cause the lights to go on. I'm going to be on fire for the Messiah. I know some of you are thinking that sounds like my worst nightmare. On fire for the Messiah. But I promise you, on this side of the line, it's awesome. It's freedom. Absolute freedom. Freedom. Okay, revelation. Okay, and so I want to just then end off, in a sense, just with this second part. Jesus said, I will build my church on this rock. What rock? Revelation knowledge. When the Holy Spirit gives supernatural understanding to us of what the scriptures are saying already. It's just like it's alive. But then Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. And my wife and I have been speaking over the last few weeks, and I'm just amazed at how many Christians don't have a revelation, an understanding like that aha moment about church community. I'm amazed. Because it's so part of our lives. We love church. Church is beautiful. I mean, we've been here now for about 7 years. And often my friends in Cape Town, they ask us, don't you miss Cape Town? The mountain. Don't you miss Stellenbosch, you know, beautiful mountains and everything? East London doesn't have mountains. And we can honestly say, we don't miss it for a moment. Do you know why? Because of the people in this church. Because of the leaders around us. Because of the friendships we've made. Because of the unity in this house. Because we don't have politics. Because we are seeking and pursuing the kingdom together. I'm in a happy place. Every week I hear of churches who are being divided, who are having church splits and politics and issues. And it's not because we're doing anything special, or it's just the grace of God. But I was just saying to God again, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. But you need a revelation of community. Let me ask this question. How many of you have had a bad experience in a church in your life? Some of you haven't. No, you're lying. Can't be. Everybody must have a bad experience in church at least once. You've probably never been to church then. Okay, let's try that again. Come on. All in. Ever had a negative experience in a church ever? Hands up. Okay, there's a few more. Okay, awesome. Okay, well, what those experiences can influence us. It can define the way we look at church. It can cause us to say, well, bad experience. Don't like it. Not going to go there again. Cheers. Church bad. Let me ask you this question. If you know of any marriage that has fallen apart, gone sour, got messed up, if you know of someone like that in your family or friends, raise your hand. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, that's about everybody. What should we conclude from that? That marriage is bad. We shouldn't do marriage. No. We must just do marriage God's way. Then it's beautiful. In the same way, we must just do church God's way, and it will be beautiful. But sometimes our past experiences define how we think about life and about the things of God. So, I just know that the enemy will do anything to get us offended with church and church community, trying to get us out of church community. Because the devil knows a Christian outside of community will not flourish. But Jesus knows when we are in community, a good community where people love one another, then the church becomes an unstoppable force on the face of the earth. Jesus said, I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. But church inherently means community. And Jesus modeled it to us, the few years with his disciples. At the end of it, he was modeling community. Then he told them, okay, guys, you are not going to be the church. You're going to be about 3,000 people on the first day. Model how I loved you. Now love one another in the same way. Christian community is powerful. So why? I just want to ask this question. So why is Christian community so important for a believer? Why? One reason I want to highlight. Then I'm going to use two illustrations and then I'm finished. The reason Christian community is so powerful is that within Christian community, grace is released to one another. In other words, you have this encounter with God. You get this download from heaven. You get revelation from heaven. And you receive grace. As I already shared, revelation knowledge releases grace over you. Now you are in Christian community, and now you overflow that grace to those around you. So in community, you receive grace. My son loves these water slides that you have on the grass, like outside, water slides. Anybody likes those? You run, you dive, you slide, and you tumble. Love them. Amazing. Okay, so there's water on, there's soap on there. You run, you dive, you're having an amazing time. Now imagine we remove the water and the soap. Pain. The water and the soap represents the grace of God. That's a picture of community. That when we are in community, there's this beautiful water and soap that you can. It's fun. It's like, woo, yes, having a ball. You know, when Christian community, when there's unity, people love one another, honor one another, serve one another. It is fun. The last few years for us, it's been like the kingdom is extending like we have never experienced. And we're having more fun than ever before. Why? Community. Grace. Slide. It's epic. But so many Christians try to do the Christian thing outside of Christian community without the empowerment that comes from Christian community. And it's, ouch. It's painful. Second illustration. Motorboat. When I was young, primary school, high school, went to Tierwaterskloof Dam in Verliersdorp near Franschhoek in the Cape. Often go weekends there, we'd be in our caravan and we'd go skiing. Loved it. But for those who don't know, a motorboat engine, it needs to be in the water because the water is pumped in and circulated through the thing so that it cools down the whole engine. Okay. So we a few times had it outside, started it up. Woo, what a noise. And also you had this thing that you outside, you plug it around the engine and you plug in the hose pipe so that it can get water. Otherwise this thing is going to cease. Now the water represents community. The boat represents you. The engine represents your spirit, your heart, your inner being. And when you're in community, your boat's in the water, and so it's cooling your system, and you can gun it. You can go for it. If you don't have the cooling, if you don't have the water, if you don't have that grace circulating through your system, you'll find your engine cease, will just burn out. Many Christians try to do that. I'm sharing these things because I'm trusting that as I'm sharing it, that revelation knowledge is going to like hit you. Ah, I see. I see. Let's say it. I see. We simulate revelation aha moments. This is such a key. We've seen this trend over and over again. Believers who find themselves outside of church community, they lose passion for Jesus and they lose passion for extending the kingdom of God. But we find the believers who are in community and planted and involved, they flourish. So this is what I want to hold before you. The church is designed by God to be an unstoppable force on earth because of the power of community. So just a few practical things there on the screen. Pray. Ask God for revelation. Ask God for revelation. Revelation about community, revelation about the church, revelation about Him. Ask Him, God, I want this to come alive. It's not alive. I want it to come alive on the inside of me. Ask that God would restore your heart in terms of maybe disappointments from past church experiences. And then I want to encourage you, get planted in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, people-loving church. And if you can't find such, find the next best thing and make a decision to serve there and be a blessing. There are a lot of good churches in this city. There are a lot of good churches in the city. There is no reason. And there's where you can't go to church. There is a flavor for everyone. Just keep looking until you find one that suits, that fits, that speaks to you, that you feel welcoming. And then get involved in church life and give of yourself to others. It's the best way to grow. It's just a fact. As you release that grace to others, what God has given to you, He gives you more and He gives you more. Amen.